I want to talk about this morning, trekking with Abraham. Trekking with Abraham. Does life sometimes feel like a trek? That you don't know exactly what's going to happen, you're just walking along. You ever feel like that? And in a Christian's life, there are three areas that happen almost immediately. There is a calling, and that is a call to come to the Lord, a call to accomplish something that you were born for a purpose with. And there is a blessing that comes when you answer the call of God. Blessing comes in many forms throughout your life. And then there is the protection of God, what God does by holding on to you. In a lot of ways, you'll say amen to this, so that we don't totally screw things up. Amen? I feel like we should get a better amen for that. I'm thankful that God protects me from screwing things up sometimes. Amen. But that includes teaching and discipline, guiding and protecting. And actually, it has some similarities to me of a story. And that story is when I bought our dog. Now, I'll let you know, I did not want a dog at first. My wife wanted a dog. So we compromised and got a dog. Amen. Yes. But we were looking for a specific type of animal, you know, one that would be good with kids, and we found one. And it was one that no one wanted. He was already a few months old. He had been tossed around like three or four homes. But we chose him. And we took him home. We gave him everything that he could ever need. And we continued to do that. And we protected him, sometimes from other animals or people that he annoyed. But mostly we did that by teaching him what to do and what not to do. And is he perfect? No, he is not. But he's actually a good dog, and he's part of our family. And he has a job because we chose him for a reason. And that is to watch over our family, my wife and my kids, especially when I'm not there. And you know, sometimes he gets into the garbage. And he does not always listen the first time. Can you relate to that as a person? I think God is looking down like, yes, you get it. But sometimes he strays off the path that we set for him. But watch this, he knows where home is and where he belongs. And he is fulfilling his purpose. And he's amazing with our kids as they pull his hair and they jump on him. And I love, you know, once I took him into Anchorage with me, and Anchorage being Anchorage, there was a shady person there. You say amen, all people trek into Anchorage. And he went berserk. Like, he just wanted out of that vehicle to chase that person away. Yet he's so good with my children. But he has a purpose. And I know my choice for him reaps a harvest of the purpose that we bought him for. Do you ever wonder what God thinks of you? Do you realize that you were chosen for a purpose and a reason? Are you fulfilling that call? Do you trust that God will provide all that you need? Do you accept his teaching and his training and his discipline? Because church, you are chosen, you are blessed, and you are protected. And our passage this morning is found in Genesis chapter 12. And we're starting a series of trekking with Abraham. Because Abraham was a guy, and I love this, that spoke with God. And Abraham was a guy that made a lot of mistakes. And I can relate to that. I don't know if you can, but I love the fact that we can speak to God. But I also make a lot of mistakes. Does anyone make mistakes here? This morning, I want to look at the beginning of Abraham's life before his name was even changed to Abraham. His name was Abram. And we see his call, his blessing, and his protection from God as we pick up in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. The book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 20. It says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions and that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the land of the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there. For the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princess of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. You say amen to the word of God. Amen. Now, before we pick up in verse 1, I want to set the stage a little bit here. After the dispersion of people at the Tower of Babel, so that's a couple stories before this, because they were disobedient, comes the story of Abraham. And this is a story, it is a gift of salvation to a people that had just turned away from God. I want you to realize that. It's to a people that had just turned away from God. God sends a gift of salvation. It's much like the story of Noah that also precedes it. It marks a new beginning and return to God's original plan. Are you thankful that God puts us back on the original plan? To be a part of the blessing. The whole story is leading towards the redemption through Jesus, the blessing of salvation, which is the call of God to come, the blessing of which we receive in salvation, and the protection of God that keeps us there. There is a theme throughout Abraham's life, and that is the theme of seed. It starts with Abraham, and it reaches all the way down to us, and it's fulfilled in the person of Christ, because the Word of God, all that we study, all that we need in this life and in death is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, church. It's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that this morning? But let's look this morning at the beginning of this promise, because we are a part of it, and it symbolizes the salvation that we have already inherited. It also is a picture of the Christian walking through life, a life filled with highs and lows, good and bad things, but never apart from God, who is leading our way. Are you thankful for that? That all the things in your life, good, bad, hard seasons, good seasons, you never depart from God. He never leaves you. And let's pick up in verse 1, the call on Abram's life. Verse 1 contains both a command and a promise. With every command, there is a promise of blessing for obedience. I want you to realize that. God sees the future. So he knows when you are obedient, it's going to reap a blessing for you. He knows the results of what he asks you to do. But Abram here was told to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. And that is a picture of salvation, because we are called to leave everything behind. To recognize that where you have been is no longer where you belong. Can you say amen? You aren't just a citizen of this world or America or Alaska anymore. You are a citizen of heaven. My wife is a dual citizen. But in order for that to happen, she had to give up her rights to her homeland, the place that she was born. In the case that when they eventually contradict, she has already made up her mind. You are called out of where you have been. You might still be in a land, but you don't belong to that land anymore. You are called out of your kindred, that is your culture, the place that you have been living in, because the kingdom culture is not going to always align with the culture that you are meant for and have chosen. You don't belong in that same culture anymore. And you are called out of your family because you have been adopted by the family of God. You have brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, fathers and mothers in Jesus. So if you don't have this in this world, you have them right now around you. This is your family, whether you like it or not. You don't forget where you came from, but your heart's desire is to bring all those people from your natural family now into your spiritual family. That should be our desire, the family of God, the family where you truly belong and are created for. You leave those things behind because you trust God. Do you trust God this morning? It says, to go to a land that I will show you. Church, you are not always going to know the details of following after God. I really wish I could tell you different than that. I wish that for my own life. Do you wish that for yours sometimes? God, if you would just show me the details, then I can help you out. You ever feel that way? But you know the destination. Sometimes you just don't know how to get there, but God does. And this is where faith takes over, because Abram started a 1,500-mile move across nations without knowing how to get there. He had never been there before. But church, God wants to take you to a place that you haven't been before. Not only because it's going to stretch your faith, that's a good thing, but because the promises he has for you are waiting there. Do you want the promises of God? But Abram did not know every step. He just knew the direction, because God knows the way, and he will show you where you are going. And in verse 2, it starts the promise inside of the command. When you obey the command, you will receive the promise. And the first one there is to be a great nation. And why I don't think God is going to take any of us and make another nation, I do know that he wants to expand the territory of your spiritual life. To make you into something that will glorify him even more. So he's going to expand your influence and your territory, your personal nation, to give him the biggest glory possible. And he says, I will bless you. When you walk in the obedience of God, you walk in the blessing of God. Can you say amen to that? Are you thankful for that? And that's not always, but often in material things. And there's nothing wrong with being blessed if you are blessing others and putting that before the Lord. There are a lot of ways to be blessed. Make sure you don't set your eyes on things. Ask God and let him provide while you work hard and expect him to move. I'm going to say that again. Ask God, let him provide while you work hard and expect him to move. Because that's an answer to the promise that he will provide. It says, I will make your name great. Church, I love this thought. The greatest honor that you and I can receive here on earth is that your name would be associated with the Lord. That is my desire. As I was thinking, even this morning, reading over this, I want my name, whenever it's mentioned, to be mentioned with the Lord. When someone says, Pastor Mitch, I want them to immediately think of all the things that God is doing. The things that I have centered my life on. Other things are great. They could mention my family or, you know, a house or a dog that annoys us sometimes. But I want them to mention, most of all, the Lord is working in his life. And even for someone who does not believe in God, that they could see that man believes with all of his heart what he says. For my name to be associated with the Lord. And it keeps going. It says, you shall be a blessing. Many of us know what the joy it is to bless others. And God wants that for us. Abram blessed all of us, but also he was a major blessing to everyone around him when he was obedient. The consequence for obedience is blessing. I'm going to say that again. The consequence for obedience is blessing. In verse 3, it deals with blessings and cursing. You cannot be blessed or cursed without the Lord's approval. So if the enemy or anyone tries to curse you, remind them they have no power in God. We see this played out in Abram's descendants in Numbers 23, where it says, no curse can touch Jacob. And in another part, I think in the next verse, they opened his mouth to curse, and a blessing came out. Do you want that on your life this morning? I receive that. Notice also that this verse, the word blessings is plural, and the word curse is singular. The curse refers to the curse of the ground of sin and death. But the word blessings is expecting there to be many. And the translation of blessings is to be on all the people of the ground. So where the one curse of the ground came, Jesus brings many blessings to the people of that same ground. And he defeats the curse. Abram wasn't just to be a mediator of blessings. He was to be a source of blessings. You yourself are meant to be a blessing to people. And then God renews the promise of all this. He restates it. And it seems almost every time when Abram gets in trouble, God reassures Abram with a promise, saying, I've got this. Do you need to receive that this morning? Because we get into trouble sometimes. Amen? And God comes in and reassures us of the promise that does not fail. It does not fail. And in verse 4, Abram departs as the Lord had spoken. He departs from where he had been living, his homeland. And the Bible says he was 75 years old when he departed. And I like that thought because we can often think it's too late at any age. Maybe I missed my chance, whatever it was. And the commentator here mentions that he left cheerfully. He left cheerfully because it doesn't matter what your past looks like. Today starts anew in Jesus. Today can start a new trek, a new adventure. Until you are in the grave, God wants to move in your life. And he wants to use you. Don't miss out on him doing that. You have not missed your shot. When you follow the Lord, you can be happy in Jesus. Just to trust and obey, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. That's an old hymn for probably most of you. But in verse 5, it is so closely tied to verse 11. Watch this. Verse 5 and verse 11 are so closely tied, scholars think that they're supposed to be read, they're meant to be read as one movement, and I'll explain that. It means this, that as Abram left his old life, at the same time, the same instance, he responded to God with a new one. To truly leave your old life is to say yes to the call of God on your new life. And church, watch this. You cannot have both. In James 4:8, it talks about being double-minded, and that means to where you are holding on to one thing while trying to serve God at the same time, and it does not work. If I did that, I would be pulled apart. I would be pulled apart. You've either left it all to follow him, or you might just be playing church. I know that one hurt. I thought about not saying it. I want to be real. There are people, I'm not saying any of you are that type of person, but there are people that come to church every week of their life that don't even know Jesus. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And that is a big, stark difference. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know him? And it doesn't mean that you have to give everything to the poor and be homeless. But it does mean that you hold nothing in between you and God. Nothing in between. Verse 6 reminds Abram of the Canaanites that were in the land, because there was a promise fulfilled hundreds of years later that they wouldn't be. I want you to think about that for a moment. The promise is being stated that this hardship in your life is not always going to be there, or your descendants are going to break it off. God wanted to remind us that the calling of obedience, inside of that, he will help us to take the land and take the promises that he has given. Church, God does not give empty promises. He gives them for a reason, because he intends you to step into them and fulfill them. Verse 7, the Lord reiterates the call, but the greatest assurance you have is the same one that Abram had. and that he was experiencing. And that is the presence of God. Whenever you doubt your calling, you doubt the ability to get there, you doubt the promise, you go into the presence of God because his presence is assurance. His presence is the assurance you have. You are called by God himself to live in his presence. And when you are called, you answer that call and you are blessed. Number two, the call, the blessing. Abram responds from realizing the blessing on his life that he had been walking in already by making an altar and worshiping. And that should be our first response to realizing the blessings that we walk in. We should just begin to worship God. We should worship God. Again, the biggest blessing in our life is the ability to meet with God. I think sometimes we forget that. There are moments that I forget that too. The biggest blessing of my life is the fact that God made a way to meet with him. In verse 8, Abram moves from a place called Shechem, where he had built an altar, to a place between two cities of Bethel and Ai. And there he built another altar to worship, because everywhere we go, we should worship. But then he moves again to a place called Negev, the Negev, which is in another place called Hebron. Let's look at these three places that Abram stopped. First, Shechem means the place of burdens. It's literally burdens between the shoulders. Do you ever feel like that? The burden of finances, the burden of work, the stress of life. I know some of us, because I've heard it before, I probably have even felt it, have felt like there's just a weight on our shoulders. And he moves to this place. And this is where Abram left his idols and all else behind. He removed the weight on his shoulders. And he marked the conquest and sanctification of the land or the promise that he had been given. And this is also, watch this, where his grandson Jacob would remove his own household idols. Same place. And where Israel got rid of the foreign gods in their nation on the way to the promised land. And all three erected an altar of worship as they released their burdens and idols. Abram stopped between Bethel and Ai next, and he builds another altar and calls on the name of the Lord. And this is the same place, again, his grandson Jacob would stop on his way back home, his way back into the promise and calling of God. And he sets up a pillar there to glorify God. This is also the place the children of Israel, it's the first city that Joshua takes in taking the promised land. Then Abram goes to the Negev, and this is where he buys a field, and he establishes a hold on the promise of God for his life. And watch this, this is the place where Jacob, his grandson, finally ends up, and the place where Joshua spreads Israel out to actually take the promised land. Do we see that the obedience and blessing that we walk in today can mark a path for your ancestry to follow, your descendants to walk in and take the promises that they have been given? Your sons and your daughters, your discipled sons and daughters that we should be raising up as Christians, live an example for them to take the promise of God. Church, my son loves to do things that I do. If I put a hat on, he has to wear a hat. I play guitar a lot. He will drag my guitar from one end of the house to the other. so he can be with me and play, and he has this little fake guitar that he plays with me. But he emulates whatever I do. Whether we like it or not, we live an example. Single people, marry someone that you want your kids to be like. Are your children going to make it to heaven if they are like your spouse? And married people, it's not too late to become the person that you want your children to be. Hopefully better than you, because that's what I want. The blessings you walk into are the same blessings, or at least some of them, that your descendants and disciples will walk into. Let me give you a good example of a spiritual one. For the last 10 years or so, I've got to meet with Dr. Don and Ostry, and I pray that one of the spiritual blessings that I reap from them is that they were involved in the Jesus movement that saw a huge outpouring of the Spirit and a huge amount of people come to the Lord. I'm praying I've received that from them. I hope you're excited about that because it affects you. It affects you a lot. But also, what are you receiving from the spiritual mentors in your life? Do you have one? Who do you want to be like? You can't say Jesus. We all know that. Who is affecting your life? What are you reaping from them? Make sure the blessings are going down to those after you and not a curse that you've allowed into your family. Of course, Jesus breaks all these things off, but what are you allowing in your family? God sets all these blessings before us, and he allows us to take all of them in the form of promises. Let's reach them together. Together as a family of God. One of the biggest blessings on our lives is the protection of God. And that's our third point. The call, the blessing, the protection as we trek along with Abraham. The protection. Watch this. Abram had just come into what he thought was the promise of God for his life when a famine happened and he had to leave. Do you ever feel like that in your promise? Sometimes our path to get places is not the path that we would have taken. I can assure you, almost every time in my life, I would have picked a different path. The Lord could have made it a lot easier for me. You relate to that this morning? Taking refuge in Egypt was not what Abram wanted or thought would happen. But watch this. Famine inside of Abram's promise taught Abram that God is really the supplier of not just his needs, but of his promise. And it's easy to get caught up in thinking that we can make everything happen. But we know that blessings only come from the Lord. In good times and in bad, in plenty and in lack, God provides. And in verse 11 through 13, he has this plan, Abram does. And in this plan, he's going to tell everyone that his wife is actually his sister. Now, I'm going to stop here a moment and say, I know that guys don't always make the best decisions. But his wife did not argue with this that we know of. And with that, ladies, please tell your husband if his idea is stupid. And vice versa. And then men and women, accept that advice. Accept that advice because we are partners in marriage. We are partners. So Abram is blessed with a beautiful wife. Can you relate to that, men? I should have heard a lot more amens at that moment. I'm going to give you another chance. Can you relate to that? Your beautiful wife. Amen. Yes. Oh, church, when God gives us something, beautiful or whatever it is, we have to trust that he can protect it. That's not just your family. That is anything in your life. You have to trust God with all of it. Acting in fear is not trusting the Lord. So Abram put his wife and his family into a hard place because he did not trust God. Sometimes our fear or selfishness can hurt those around us. Do we trust God more than we trust ourselves? And I know that is hard, because most of us think we're pretty great. But the half-truth they concocted to deceive everyone was still deceit. The fact is, the very thing they tried to avoid ended up happening because they went with their own plan instead of following God. But watch this. I love this, church. The mercy of God is so great. Pharaoh treated Abram well for Sarai's sake, it says. And watch this. God still blessed him in his disobedience. Not because he deserved it, but because God was going to use it. I want you to remember this. Just because you feel blessed does not mean you are obedient. And that is a hard truth. One that Christianity through the years has gotten wrong. We sometimes equate blessing with obedience and being right with the Lord. But they are not the same. And remember this, the enemy prefers that. He wants you to think that you are walking with God because you feel blessed. When, in fact, and we'll see this with Abraham's life, sometimes you go through hard things walking with God. And they result in a blessing, and sometimes that blessing is heaven. But we have his presence here on earth. But again, God used this to still bless Abram, as Abram is still trying to be led by God. And not only that, God protected Abram from sinning farther. He caused some type of plague to come onto Pharaoh that stopped Pharaoh from dishonoring Sarai. But Abram was not fulfilling the call of God on his life in this moment. I believe that he was meant to be a blessing, and he had become a curse to those around him. Now, I believe also that he was still trying, in a sense, to do what God wanted. He felt like he had to go to Egypt. He was trying, though, to do that in his own way. How many times do we let pride or fear get in the way from doing something God's way? I'll tell you this from experience, that I have not always done perfectly. God's way does not always make sense. It does not always make sense, but it always ends up perfectly where it is supposed to be. And the beauty of all this, though, is that God still protected Abram. He still not only had mercy, but blessing on him. And church, that is what is called grace. It was mercy that Pharaoh did not kill Abram, but grace that he not only didn't die, he received blessing from that same Pharaoh. The sheep, the donkeys, the servants, everything that he was given, he got to keep. We have to realize that our blessing, our help, our protection only comes from God. Even in our mistakes, he takes care of us. And it's not too late to trust God if we are getting back on the original plan. Watch this. Even the mightiest king cannot go against the will of the Lord. And in verse 20, this does force Abraham out of Egypt. God used the mistake of Abram to get him back on track. Can you say hallelujah to that? God sometimes uses our mistakes to get us back on track because he is that good, he is that kind, he is that gracious, he is that merciful. But think of this. Think of still the dishonor it showed for the Lord to the nation of Egypt and to Pharaoh. It didn't represent the Lord's people well or the Lord himself well. It represented how powerful God was. It represented how good he was to his people, but it left out the witness of God that calls all people to him. And we sometimes get caught up in that in Christianity today. We sometimes get caught up in that we want to receive all the blessing and we don't care about the people around us. The way we conduct ourselves in the world shows them who God is. And when we show them who God is, it brings them to God. Abram could have been a blessing to that place and to that person, but did not fulfill the calling of his life in that moment. He was called to spread the word about God, to be God's people. Abram was silent under the rebuke of Pharaoh. He couldn't say anything because he knew he was wrong. But this is also the mercy of God because, watch this, it humbled Abram. It is humility and gratitude that gets us back and keeps us on track where we belong. And it's the same for us. We are humble to listen and grateful that we get to listen. And it picks up with this thought again in the following chapter in verse 4, chapter 13, verse 4, where Abram returns and he builds an altar to worship. We see God's mercy on Abram, the same mercy that would be on his grandson, the same mercy that would be on his great-grandson who follows the same example, leading his people to Egypt and then Joshua bringing them out in the Exodus. But the key point of today is that God will make sure the promise is fulfilled. And he did that through, of course, Jesus with salvation and through the Holy Spirit in our daily life, that even in our weakness and mistakes, his great mercy and grace beyond the mercy still watches over us. And we could never deserve it. Church, he just loves us. He just loves you. And that is why. That is the sole reason, just because he loves you. And much like the animals that most of us have, or many of us do, we chose them in the same way we were chosen. We bless them and provide for them anything that they could ever need. We protect them by training and discipline because we're supposed to love them. But God loves us so much more. And sometimes, I'll admit, I struggle to love my dog when he finds really dirty diapers and shreds them all over my house. But watch this. God never struggles to love you. He never struggles to love you. Even in your mistakes, he is making a way out and for you to get back to the promise. And today, as the worship and prayer team comes, I'm going to ask you, if you can, to stand across this place. If you can. If you want to step back into the original plan that God had for you, or if you feel like there is a burden on your shoulders and you want to release it to the Lord in one of those places where they erected an altar of worship, you release a lot of things when you worship. Or maybe today you are hearing the call of God for the first time. I want you to come and meet with Jesus. Or if you need reminding that God loves you, no matter what you have done, or if you have any other need of healing, filling with the Holy Spirit, releasing from depression or selfishness, fear, pride. Or again, if you need to know the love of God this morning, that on the trek of life, you are called, you are blessed, and you are protected. If you need prayer in any of those areas, I'm going to ask you to come down to the front and we will pray with you as the worship team begins to play and to worship. Feel free to come now, and also feel free, if you're staying where you're at, to just begin to lift your hands in worship and release any burden that you might have, and pray for those around you that they're able to release burdens as well.